created with free version for non-commercial use.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Patricia.
The Old Testament lesson comes from Psalm 25, written by David, and it's one of the ABC Psalms. So if we're in Hebrew, so in Australia, we'd say, amazing is God, best God of all, compassion all he does. So it's a wonderful psalm to learn. We're reading the first 11 verses. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame comes to those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Saviour. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake
created
of
with free version
Lord,
for non-commercial use.
Forgive my iniquity, although it is great. And from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 18. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise to the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may be able to answer everyone. Tychicus will send you all the news about me.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
A faithful minister and faithful in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that's happened here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
One of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read to the church of the Laodiceans, and and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Remember my chains. Grace be with you. May we have this word of God within our hearts too. God bless us.
Thanks, Patricia. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
This is our final look at Colossians. So please, if you could have your Bible open to Colossians chapter 4. I'll briefly mention Psalm 25, but the focus is on Colossians. You've got your usual sermon outline, and you can jot down some notes there, but let's
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Through this. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word just read. We do pray that it would penetrate our hearts and minds, that you would be with us now for the next few minutes and teach us about prayer and about witness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last 7 weeks or so, the Apostle Paul has taught us a number of things. They'll be coming up on the screen there. He's taught us that Jesus is God, Jesus is Creator, Jesus is our Saviour, and that Jesus gives us new life if we believe in Him and in His death and resurrection, and that Jesus gives us freedom to love and changes
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Want to. So, for example, I don't have to come to church, but I want to come to church. I don't have to pray, but I want to pray. That's what new life and freedom in Jesus gives us. And Paul's taught us that Jesus is all of our life, not just an hour on Sunday, and that our relationships with one another are meant to be different because of this new life in Jesus. And our relationships with one another, we said last week, mean that we should have the same mindset as our Lord Jesus. What was his mindset? It was sacrificial, agape love. So that's what we've learned. We might have forgotten some of that, but that's what we've learned over the last few weeks. So given all of that, Paul then finishes his letter in today's reading with two responses. Two responses for the Colossians and for us.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Prayer and witness. And if you remember our obedient Christian wheel over there, there are two of the spokes that make us obedient Christians and connect us to the hub, which is Jesus. So, the Apostle Paul offers a fistful of advice on prayer, and you can jot them down if you like in your outline. First, be devoted to prayer. Lena mentioned this during the children's talk. Verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, devote here means persevere in prayer, continually praying, not giving up praying. Now, some of you might have heard of Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China. But when he was 18, he
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Library, and he read a gospel tract about Jesus, and he couldn't shake off the message in that tract. And he eventually fell to his knees and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Now, 10 days later, his mum, who'd been away, returned home. And when Hudson told her the good news that he was now a believer in Jesus, she said, I already know some, 10 days ago, the very day you told me you read that tract, I spent the entire afternoon praying for the Lord, and praying to the Lord, and he assured me that my wayward son had now been brought into the fold and was a believer. Now that's the sort of devotion to prayer that Paul's talking about here. Prayer is so important. Now, it might
created
have been
with free version
prayer,
for non-commercial use.
Sorry, it might have been an angel that came and released the Apostle Peter from prison in the book of Acts. But it was prayer that brought the angel to the prison to release him. And I wonder how diligent we are in our prayer life. The Puritan preacher Thomas Watson says this about prayer. Jesus went more freely to his death on the cross than we go to God's throne of grace in prayer. That's quite alarming if that's true, right? So in verse 2 then, when it says be watchful, it literally means being awake. Does anyone fall asleep when they're praying? Or is it just me? Yeah. Well, we shouldn't be like the disciples at the Transfiguration.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Fully awake. And we shouldn't be like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when they all fell asleep and left Jesus praying alone. Our prayers should not be infrequent, not tired prayers, but continual, awake, alert prayers. Yes, there will be times when after a hard day we are too tired to pray much, so our prayers need to be planned at more alert times. Perhaps we can use Lena's little trick. And we shouldn't forget to be thankful. It's easy to go straight for the shopping list or the immediate help prayer, and we forget to be thankful for what God has done in our lives and continues to do. Challenge for us then, are our prayers continual, alert, awake prayers?
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Second, Paul says, pray for doors to be opened to proclaim the message of Jesus. Verse 3 says, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Look at what Paul is asking for in his prayer. Yes, it's prayer for himself, but not asking for release from prison, or for a successful outcome for his pending trial in Rome, or for rest or peace. Now he asks for prayer that there might be opportunities, even in his present circumstances, in jail. Opportunities to proclaim the gospel, specifically, he says, this mystery of Christ that was revealed.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
What is this mystery of Christ that Paul refers to? It's that the salvation that was accomplished by Jesus through his death and resurrection is available to Jews and Gentiles, that's people like us. And that's why Paul is in jail in Gentile territory as he writes the letter. So again, a challenge for us. Are we praying for doors to be opened so that people can hear the message of Jesus? Are we praying that we recognize the opportunities that come our way? Third, pray for the words to say. Verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So Paul asks for prayer to proclaim the message of Jesus clearly. Our Old Testament passage picks up from that. In Psalm
created with free version for non-commercial
verse
use.
4 and 5, where David says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. In other words, David's asking to be shown the way, the words, what truth he can share about the Lord, what he can teach people. So a challenge for us, when we pray for ourselves and for others, are we asking for God's strength to complete the tasks that God has given us to share the gospel? And are we praying that God will give us the words to say? Or do we just dive in there? Fourth, pray for strength to stand up for Jesus with confidence. Notice how Paul's colleague Epaphras prays in verse 12. It says he's wrestling in prayer for the Colossians.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Now, we're living in a post-Christian era, whether we want to accept it or not. Christianity is a minority in Australia, and Christianity is constantly under attack and undermined by our politicians and by our community. So the challenge for us then is, are we praying for our fellow Christians and for our church to stand firm in the face of these attacks? Are we praying for spiritual discernment and maturity in the face of these attacks? Are we praying that we are confident and assured of our place in eternity? We just sang Blessed Assurance, but do we actually believe it? Are we praying that any doubts we have might be removed?
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
The fifth piece of advice in Paul's fistful of advice for prayer, pray for perseverance to complete our gospel mission. Notice in verse 17 that Paul passes a message to Archippus that he completes the ministry he has received in the Lord. What about us? Are we praying for ourselves and others in our various ministries here at St. David's, that we have the Lord's strength and guidance to complete the ministries that the Lord has given us? Are we praying that we complete the mission we have all been given, the mission of the Great Commission, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach people to obey?
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
That's our gospel mission. And notice too, in verse 18, Paul asks for prayer to remember him in chains. Are we remembering in prayer those who are persecuted or in prison or in danger or undergoing sacrifice for the sake of the gospel message? Are we asking God to sustain those people so that they can persevere and complete their gospel mission? There's five pieces of advice on prayer. Next, Paul turns his attention to the second response to his letter, and that's witnessing. Sometimes witnessing is not so much what we say, but how we act and behave. Here's a true story.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Many years ago, two men were panning for gold in Montana in the USA, and one of them found an unusual shaped stone, and breaking it open, they were excited to see that it contained gold. So they worked eagerly in that area, and the two men soon discovered an abundance of gold. Happily, they began shouting with delight. You can just imagine one of those cowboy movies, can't you? We found it, we found gold, we're rich. And they had to interrupt their celebrating, though, to go into town to get some supplies. And before they left their camp, they agreed that they wouldn't tell anyone about their find. Much to their dismay, when they were about to return to their mining, hundreds of men were following them. And when they asked the crowd, "How did you know?" they replied, "You didn't have to tell us you found gold. It was written on your face."
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
should be written all over our faces. Let's have a few smiles this morning. Paul offers a fistful advice on witnessing. First, a Christian must be wise in their behaviour, especially towards non-Christians, Paul says, outsiders. Non-Christians, funnily enough, know exactly how Christians should act, don't they? Call yourself a Christian. You're a minister and you do that. Yeah? So our behaviour must be such that it is attractive and different. Few people have ever been argued into Christianity. A Christian must remember it's not just their words about Jesus that attract people to Jesus, but their life. That's what Paul's been saying. Jesus is all our life.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Our lives will either attract people to Jesus or repel people away from Jesus because we're hypocrites. We have a huge responsibility. So the challenge for us is our behaviour, is our life fitting behaviour for a Christian? Remember the new clothes we need to put on that Paul mentioned to Colossians back in chapter 3. Those new clothes of compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. Is there something we need to change in our behaviour? Second, a Christian must be on the lookout for opportunities to share the gospel. Our daily life and work are continually presenting us with opportunities to witness our faith in Jesus.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Our church continually offers opportunities to teach, serve, visit, sing, and work for the Lord and for the good of our church family. And yet it's easy for us to deliberately refuse or avoid accepting these opportunities. So again, the challenge for us is, are we on the lookout for these opportunities to serve Jesus and serve others? Remember that Jesus says our serving of others is actually serving him. Or are we ignoring those opportunities? Is God speaking to us and we're ignoring his prompting and calling? Perhaps we need to pray to find out if God
created
really
with free version for non-commercial use.
Now, for some of you who may not be sure what your gifts are and what God's calling you to do. If you want one of these on the way out, quite a few of you filming already, it's a spiritual gifts survey. Gives you an idea of what your gifts are, and that might then help you to decide where those opportunities are for you. Third, our conversations need to be Christian ones. In verse 6, Paul says our conversations must be full of grace. Now the word grace in English and in Greek has a double meaning. It can mean God's grace, his undeserved favour, and it can also mean human graciousness. So showing grace to someone will mean
created with free version for non-commercial use.
Being merciful, compassionate, forgiving, kind, gentle, lenient, and so on. And Paul says our conversation should be seasoned with salt. Salt adds flavour. Chips without salt just don't work. Salt purifies and it preserves. So our conversations need to be flavoursome, words that encourage and inspire people, not words that put them down. Our words need to be pure, godly, loving words. And our words need to preserve relationships not destroy relationships. All this, Paul says, amounts to knowing how to give a wise and godly answer to all people we come across.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
If we examine our conversations with each other, are our words gracious? Are we adding flavor to people's lives? Are our words pure and loving? Are we building lasting relationships? Is there something we need to repent of and confess and correct? A good witness isn't like a salesman. Our emphasis must be on people, not on a product. We're not selling a product called Jesus. A good witness is like a signpost. It doesn't matter whether it's old, young, pretty, ugly. It has to point in the right direction and be able to be understood. We are witnesses to Christ. We are signposts who point to Him. So perhaps it's worth
created with free version for non-commercial use.
People towards Jesus with our behavior and with our words. Fourth, we see another form of witnessing with one of Paul's colleagues. Tychius, Paul says, will report back to the Colossians how Paul's ministry is going. And it's vital that we know how our ministries are going in our church family and how our mission partners are going. Because as it says in verse 8, it encourages our hearts. That's why it's important to hear about how our mission partners are going, how our children's ministries are going, how our communication corner ministry is going, how our friendship group ministry is going, how our vision's going. These reports encourage us and spur us on to keep serving. So again, the challenge is
created with free version for non-commercial use.
The progress of our ministries to our church family. Not to big note ourselves, but to encourage our church family and to spur each other on. The fifth and final piece of advice. Notice in verse 16 that witness involves passing on what we've heard about Jesus. Paul asked the Colossians to pass on his letter to the Laodiceans and for the Laodiceans to pass on, or for them to read the letter from Laodicea as well. So that says to me that are we passing on what we've learned from the book of Colossians over the last few weeks? Things like Jesus is supreme, Jesus is God, He's the Creator, He's our Savior. Jesus is all about life.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Our relationships need to have the mindset of Jesus. We need to be passing all that on. It would be easy for us to say to ourselves, I believe in Jesus, I'm forgiven, I'm safe, I'm going to heaven, and keep all that to ourselves. But we have the greatest news of all time. Jesus is all we need. And He gives us a certain hope of heaven. Why would we not want to pass that on to everyone? Now remember, the alternative to heaven is hell. Our silence may mean people ending up in hell. Is that really what God wants? Is that really what we want? So Paul has given us two responses to his letter to the Colossians.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Prayer and witness. And as we think about how we should be as a body of Christ, His church, here at St. David's, we have a perfect example of how a church should be throughout the wonderful book of Acts in the New Testament, which describes the early Christian church. So my final challenge for us this morning is to read through the book of Acts, read it through in your quiet times, and marvel at how God works in His church, and how the early church prays and witnesses. I'm just going to pull out two examples from the early church to show you what I mean. One about prayer, one about witnessing. When the Apostle Peter was in jail, reading from
created with free version for non-commercial use.
It says, after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. Look what the church did. The church was earnestly praying to God for him, for Peter. The church prayed for Peter, and an angel came and released Peter. Are we earnestly praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ? The other example about witnessing, back in Acts chapter 4, the apostles Peter and John, they were hauled in front of the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, for talking about Jesus.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Their witness from Acts chapter 4. Then they, that's the Jewish council, called them, that's Peter and John, in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But look at their reply. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So can we join Peter and John in the early church this morning and say, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and what we've heard about Jesus? Let's pray. Father God,
created with free version for non-commercial use.
For Paul's teaching on prayer and witness, help us to join the early church in earnestly praying. Help us to join the early church and say that we cannot help but speak about what we've seen and heard about Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.